Weeknight, 6-8, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Hanging out with you tonight. Got another hour here. If you want to join us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. How about this, Abdallah? Tomorrow is the final day of spring trading at ESPN 1000. So each Tuesday in the month of March, all of us hosts, we swap partners for the Tuesday broadcast day.
We put all of our keys and into a bowl.
Yeah,
and
we pull the keys out. And what do you know? 10 to noon, Greeny by himself.
It's crazy. He pulled that,
yes.
He's hosting with Hembo again?
Wow. Do you want to run down our schedule that we have for tomorrow?
It.
Yeah, what
so
do we have?
7 a.m., Carmen and Dion. That's going to be a great show.
It's going to be a good show.
They'll talk to Albert Breer at 8:30. It's going to be awesome. Then 10 to noon, like you mentioned, Greeny. And then 12 to 2, My Two Dads with Abdallah and Connor McKnight.
You two are only going to talk about that.
No, we're not.
Around you guys off the air, and that's all you guys talk about.
Well, it's just we have something in common.
No, I know.
So it's not, I don't like boring people that don't have kids with stories of my kid unless they ask for them. So, but when you're around someone who just had a kid,
Connor's going to pull you in.
Yeah, of course he will.
He's going to pull you in.
Of course he will.
It's going to be dad chat.
And then it's going to be me making fun of him for being a Star Wars nerd.
Dad chat.
And then Yurko and Waddle, two former players. Wow, yes. 2-6.
That's going to be good.
And then the main event.
What is the main event?
Hold on.
For dramatic effect, let's see if the sound bed still works. No, it doesn't.
No, what is it? What are you going to play?
Oh, my Duel of the Fates is no longer there.
Am I doing a good job?
Yeah. So what do we have from 6 to 8 tomorrow night? What do we have?
We have Black hosting the Black and Abdallah Show with David Kaplan.
I'm coming, hon.
And please.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh,
please.
Just an awful basketball team. Very sad.
Very sad.
I didn't hear it live, but I went back and I listened.
Yeah.
To Friday night.
Oh, did you?
To Mitchell and Displains.
Yes.
And please, if you know Mitchell, or if Mitchell is listening, or if you have a line to him somehow, please
give him a heads up.
Mitchell and Displains
tomorrow night
needs to call. I don't want him to call. It is a must. He has to call. He must call in tomorrow. He has 2 hours. He must call in. So Mitchell and Displains, if you're listening, please don't call now. I don't want to talk to you
tomorrow night.
Call tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
and please talk to Cap. Please.
Yeah. So tomorrow. Yeah. From 6 to 8 here on ESPN 1000,
it will be
Bleck and Kaplan.
Are you going to let him pick a
here
song
on ESPN 1000? He has to. The guest always gets a pick. We're friendly here on the night show, so the guest gets the pick.
You know what you should do?
And I think we should have a little zoo news as well tomorrow night. He will be so upset when we have to have some zoo news.
It'd be great
if
he said, like, anything Bruce, and then you didn't play. You played something else and just played it off. And see how long it took for him to realize
that it's not Bruce.
That it's not, because we know, like, and he admits this. He doesn't know music. He knows it. This is not making fun of him. He admits it.
You're gonna get called into a meeting.
That's fine. He does not know music. He doesn't consider himself a music person. That's fine. He knows Bruce though. So it would be great, and I would bet that he picks a Bruce song. But he has to make sure that we've done Bruce, right? We've done Bruce before.
We might have.
I think we've done Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah, that's,
I think we've done
right.
Dancing in the Dark. So make him go deep.
You know why? Because we ripped it. We played it and we made fun of
it. He's going to France just to see Bruce.
Yeah.
So he needs to go deep cut.
Here's my plea to the great Black and Abdallah listeners. I'm going to need you to assemble tomorrow night and to start lining up right at 6 p.m. I'm going to need all calls welcome for Kaplan at 6 p.m. tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this has been a debate, sports debate for years going back and forth. But I'm going to need the strong Black and Abdallah listeners to show up tomorrow night. and to give Cap a piece of their sports opinions.
Well, listen,
that's what I'm going to need tomorrow night. I'm going to need a full forced effort from the Black and Abdallah show tomorrow
evening. Just make sure tonight when you go home that you watch the games.
Because we will have some sports chat.
Because you will talk about the games.
We will talk about the games.
How about this? We will talk about the games. You and I. Now, I'm not saying this because I have a newborn. But you and I are here till 8 o'clock most nights.
Yeah.
And during spring trading, I've had to work not once, but twice in the morning. His name gets pulled for the night show, and he could deduce it as it was going on. Danny starts pulling out names. And
I figured out real quick what was happening.
His name is not there.
Yeah.
Okay? He wants the first thing out of his mouth is, can I do the show from home? The second thing out of his mouth is, do I get Wednesday off? We do the quick turnaround.
Yes.
We filled in for him before. And I know Shay is listening right now. He's in the Twitch chat, and if I get a meeting for this, whatever. I thought he was a grinder. I thought he wasn't a fan of the 32-hour work week. Oh. Now he can't do the quick turnaround? Oh. Now he can't do a night game into a day game? What are we doing here?
Well, that's why tomorrow night we will need a full effort from the Black and Abdallah listeners, 6 to 8. David Kaplan will be in the studio. I'm telling you this right now, Abdallah. If he pulls that and he says he's going to stay home,
protest. Don't put him on.
We will lose connection if that's the case.
Don't put him on.
No, we'll attempt.
And guess what?
I'm not getting in trouble, but it will be a bad connection. We will lose the connection if that takes place tomorrow night. He's got to take a vacation day
then, too.
Well, I'm just saying, if that's what's happening tomorrow night, I'm protesting.
No.
If he's not here in studio. Tomorrow night in studio.
In studio.
Black and Kaplan.
And
spring trading wraps with Kaplan in the studio.
And if he's a grinder, if he loves the chase, his ass better be in that chair Wednesday morning. Bright and early, 7 a.m.
So tomorrow night will be must-listen-to radio here on ESPN 1000. I thought I was on the list.
We got called lazy.
But this is great.
We got
this
called.
This is fantastic.
This generation is soft.
I like this.
Because they want to do
this
a 32-hour work week.
We will have some sports.
I got a host from home.
Sports talk tomorrow night. It's going to be great.
Can I have Wednesday off?
You're right. How soft is that?
Right? Come on.
I need tomorrow off.
He doesn't have kids in the house.
No.
He's not. You just go home, go to bed, wake back up.
I mean, I thought it was about the grind. You're right. I thought that's what it was about. It was about the grind. But yes, okay. So tomorrow night, so it's spring trading tomorrow. Carmen and Dion in the morning, 7 to 10. You'll hear Greeny. Then Abdallah and Connor, dad chat from noon to 2. And then we will get the Jerkwad show. Yeah, Yurko and Waddle.
Jerkwad.
From 2 to 6.
That's so great.
How about that? Black and Cap.
That's the main event.
Tomorrow night.
No kidding. Like, we are just opening for you guys.
Well, and here's what I really appreciate about this is I enjoy staying in my spot. And so this is, he's coming to the darkness. The sun goes down at night.
Oh, yeah.
The phone lines get a little strange.
Yeah.
We have the soundboard here with
Corey.
Yeah, Rob Manfred. And, you know, we have Taylor Swift. And we have Joey G. And we have
a lack of lollygagging.
We have Tom Brady. And we have it all ready to go. It's going to be fantastic tomorrow night.
It's going to be dark out when you guys are done with the show. Is he going to need an escort to his car?
He'll have someone pick him up right out in front here.
He's going to have a driver so he can try to get some sleep in the car on the way back.
Yeah, he'll have the driver.
I'm coming
up. So he can get into his PJs and not disrupt his night.
No, you know, Shay will be here to drive him home.
She had a relationship with her stepbrother.
Well, so, you know, he's got to stay up late tonight and do the recap of the Bulls and Clippers game.
9:30 start.
Yeah.
Bulls in Los Angeles against the Clippers. He's got to stay up late.
At least he gets to sleep in tomorrow. Right?
I'll be here early.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're producing.
I'll work a full day.
You're producing the dad chat from noon to 2 with Abdallah and Connor.
I'll work a full day tomorrow.
You are
and
working
then,
a full
and then
day.
Invite Cap into the Thunderdome.
I'm coming on.
There we go. How about that? It's what the people want, really.
It is.
Spring trading wraps tomorrow with Black and Kaplan tomorrow night right here on ESPN 1000. Man, I'm so mad that the Duel of the Fates got deleted. It was in there for so long, I don't understand how it didn't get passed, how it didn't get transferred over in the system.
Got lost in the move, man.
Oh, man. Tal, North Riverside,
really
you're on ES.
We need to do a better job of documenting all this stuff and archiving things.
Yeah, we? Tal, North Riverside, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Hi, Tal.
How are you guys doing?
We're good.
I'll let you stop laughing before I continue.
It's not about you. Just some inside baseball stuff.
So anyway, what's up? It was great to see you guys Friday. I had a blast.
Thanks for coming and staying as long as you could before you had to get back and watch Caitlin Clark.
Right, and did 41 points.
How about that?
12 assists and 10 rebounds. No man or woman has ever done that in the NCAA March Madness tournament.
Who's the closest on the men's side? Dwayne Wade at the Final Four when he was with Marquette?
Maybe. I don't know. You'd have to Google that for me.
The best part, Tal, is the way she talks crap. That's my favorite part.
Oh, no.
Is that she just doesn't care.
At one point, a Louisville player chirped at her, and she turned and she goes, "You're down by 15 points. Shut up."
Wasn't she yelling, "Can't guard me, can't guard me" at one point?
Right. You can't guard me. You can't guard me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the best part.
I love her so much. Right. She's just so much fun to watch. And when she takes over, you're done. We're currently watching South Carolina versus Maryland, which South Carolina scares me. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. Yeah, they scare me. So we'll see what happens.
Tal, I think that Caitlin Clark is going to be the one person from both sides of the tournament that everyone's going to remember years from now. I don't think there's been – I know that there's been a couple of memorable performances on the men's side, but there's no, like, marquee player who's going to go to the next level that we're going to call back to. Like, Caitlin Clark's going to be around for a long time, and this is her month. Mm-hmm. Like, both tournaments, she is the star of all of college basketball right now.
She is college basketball right now. The way she's changed the game, it like just even I was at Benny's one day grabbing booze for us, and I had Iowa stuff on, obviously. And this guy goes, "Iowa, you guys got that female player?" Like some random dude at Benny's knew who she was.
Right.
It's just incredible how many people are like, "Yeah, that's the one girl. She'll knock the lights out." So she's changed, and honestly, she has 2 years of eligibility left because she's got her senior year and her COVID year. And she said she would actually lose money going to the WNBA, and she'll play in front of smaller crowds. So I have a feeling she's going to stick around for at least and she can't even go into the WNBA draft until she's 22, which will not happen until January of 2024. So no matter what, she's back next year.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to watch. Good luck to the Hawkeyes when they get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I know. I'm already nervous about playing South Carolina, and they're still playing a game right now.
Talk to you later, Tal. Thanks for coming out on Friday.
Yeah, of course. Love you guys.
All right. See you later. There's Tal. So I'd say this with college basketball, Dal. The one thing that I look at with the men's side, the Final Four is always exciting. And this year, having Florida Atlantic take on San Diego State, and then the other game, Miami and UConn. Obviously, there are no traditional blue bloods outside of UConn in the mix. Miami is usually a football school. San Diego State doesn't get to this point. Florida Atlantic also doesn't get to this point. To me, smaller schools make the tournament in the first two weekends. But when you get to the Final Four, to me, it is about the bigger schools and the big players and those players who go on to be stars in the NBA. That, to me, I enjoy the most about the Final Four. The Cinderellas and the upsets and the unknowns are very cool and is what makes the tournament so special in the opening weekend and the Sweet 16 weekend. But when we get to the Final Four, I do want to see the best of the best in college basketball. And I think what we've seen in this year's tournament is that the talent is being spread out even more. And the top of the list in college basketball and the bottom of the list in college basketball is getting closer. The middle is getting compressed.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams at the bottom are catching up to the top of the board, and that's exactly what we're seeing in this tournament.
But you've got two teams in San Diego State and UConn that if you go by metrics, they've been in the top for most of the season. Like, they were the tops, towards the top in KenPom. At one point, UConn was ranked number one in the country. So, like, this, yes, is it Michigan State? Is it Kentucky? Is it Kansas? Is it Gonzaga even? No, it's not. But I still think that there is interest in this tournament. I still think that, like, this is to not have a number one seed in this, or number two seed, or number three seed. Like, it's fine. I think it's fine. I don't. I'm not a ratings person. I don't care. Like, I don't care if other people watch stuff. I watch The Bachelor and I watch soccer. You think I care about ratings? Like, come on. I watch what I care about watching about. So I'm going to watch the games. They were close games. Like, every game so far has come down to the wire. And you've had multiple overtime games. Like, to me, that's the tournament. To me, it's not, oh, yeah, the Cinderellas are cool, and then we watch Kentucky beat the crap out of them in the Elite Eight. That's not the tournament for me. To me, the tournament is close games, guys making horrible decisions most of the time, and then seeing competitive basketball and having just good, just quality games, and that's what we're getting.
Well, my thought has nothing to do with the ratings. My thought has to do with, in the past, those top schools, and even as we enter the one-and-done era of college basketball, the top schools, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, they have so much talent and so much depth that it eventually wins out and gets to the point. And now, every Final Four, it seems, in the last 10 or so years, has a team that is non-traditional getting to that point. I remember a couple of years back, Oklahoma getting there, or you get like an Oregon, or you get someone that's not necessarily a traditional college basketball power getting to the Final Four. But I think what the difference is now is that kids have so many options that you can go to a smaller spot with a couple other people who maybe bounced from other places where they weren't getting the playing time, and you can form a team at Florida Atlantic and make a deep run. San Diego State, you can make a deep run. Heck, I mean, to your point, these teams are good teams. San Diego State lost, what, three basketball games this entire season?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even though if you look at the bracket and they're a five seed, they went 31-6 in the regular season. I mean, that's a very good basketball team. To only lose six games, or Florida Atlantic, to only lose three basketball games and to be at this point, it's very impressive.
The other issue for me is, people need to pick a lane. Pick a lane. You can't complain about having the same teams in the college football playoff every year and then complain about not having the Blue Bloods in the Final Four.
Well, you're wrong about that.
No, I'm not.
I'll tell you about it next.
Pick a lane.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Black and Abdallah, weeknight 6-8 here on ESPN 1000, talking to you about the NCAA tournament. John in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Great discussion.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say my opinion just about the tournament this year, because I've been extremely disappointed with the – I don't know. I know the teams aren't the headliners right now, but I really think when I watched the Big Ten tournament, because, well, I have to admit, my kid goes to Purdue, but I have watched the Big Ten tournament very closely, and I watch all the Purdue games, and I'm watching all the teams that they play, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the tournament now, and I just don't see the same talent as I've seen in the Big Ten that's playing right now in the finals of the NCAA tournament. I mean, if you watch those games in the Big Ten tournament, they were going at each other like, it was a physical tournament, I thought. And I was just looking at this one right now, these teams that are left playing, I just don't have the same feeling with the games I'm watching now.
Yeah, and obviously in the conference, in the conference tournaments, those teams face each other each and every year. There's a rivalry there. The fan bases get into it. So, John, yeah, good point. The conference tournaments sometimes can give you more than, say, March Madness, because March Madness, unless you get a true underdog going for an upset, sometimes it's a sterile atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need a little extra juice to get things going. Performance, a big shot, a big dunk, to get the crowd really involved in the action. But, you know, Abdallah, when we talk about the NCAA tournament, you were making the point in comparing it to college football, and how the Blue Bloods in college basketball, how those who are the Blue Bloods in college football, you can't have it both ways. explain your point.
Well, my point is every year we get to the college football playoff and people are like, oh my God, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State, it's Clemson, it's Georgia, every single year. But then when we get to the tournament and it's like, well, I want to see the programs. I want to see Kentucky. I want to see Duke. Pick a lane. Either you want to see it or you don't. You can't have it both ways. To me, it's the blue bloods of college football. Like, the blue bloods of college football get to be in the college football playoff because they win every single game. They win their conference tournament. They win their conference championship, I mean. And they get to be in the college football playoff. The Final Four, okay, well, maybe you don't like San Diego State and FAU in there. Well, then Kentucky should have been better. And Kansas should have been better. And Purdue should have been better. They didn't get to make it because they didn't win.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so that's my point. Like, people are like, what about TCU? And like, what about this? And what about...
What's the argument, though? I understand that if those teams would have won, they would have been there. And thus, you would have had blue bloods in the Final Four.
My argument is that people say that they like the Cinderella, they like the upset, but then when they get to the Final Four, well, I'm disappointed that it's not Michigan State, and I'm disappointed that it's not Kentucky, and I'm disappointed that it's not Kansas. But then when it comes to, you know, when we get to January, to New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or whatever, and you've got the college football playoffs, like, oh, I got to watch Alabama and Clemson again. Oh, I got to watch Michigan State in the tournament again for the 27th year in a row.
I don't think that those two things are connected.
I think they are.
I think that you can see my thought is that the Cinderella is great for weekends one and two. By the time you get to the Final Four, I want the cream to rise. I want the best of the best to be there for the Final Four.
But you
in college football, I totally agree with the idea that the blue bloods, the traditional programs, those are the teams that I want to see. I knew that Cincinnati wasn't going to get it done in the college football playoff.
Because you are of sane body and mind, Chris. Like, the people that want to expand the college football playoff to 24 teams or whatever so they can get some BS school to get in, like, well, Cincinnati see, getting right, in and then that, getting rocked.
That's the idea that's stupid. Yes. For anyone to think, well, let's blow college football up like it's the NCAA that's men's tournament.
That's my point.
That's not going to happen.
That's my point.
If you take the 64th best team in college football and you place them up against Clemson or Alabama, like you're saying, LSU, Notre Dame, some of the top dogs, they're going to get crushed. That's just the way college football works. It's not as interesting. It's not as wacky. It's not as wild. You don't have the big guy in the middle for Purdue not being able to get up and down the floor while a team just firing off three-pointers as a 16 seed to win on a Friday in the first weekend of the tournament. It's not going to happen.
Like, people want to see Izzo against Calipari, against Bill Self.
That's
against,
what I want to see.
Yes,
That's what I want.
I want to see Saban against Dabo.
Sure.
That's what I want to see.
Each year, there's a cute team in college football, and TCU got through, but they're also from the Big 12.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like they're that different.
No.
But each year, there is a team that sneaks in, a Cincinnati, a BYU. They get close, and then when it's time to really perform, they get knocked down a peg,
yeah,
right?
Like when Georgia beat the crap out of them, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The game was awful last year, the championship game in college football. Yeah. Georgia killed TCU.
And you might see the same thing this year with UConn if they get through.
G Money on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, G Money?
What doing today?
What's up, man? What do you got?
Yeah, so, you know, I heard an interesting thing online. Well, not online, but on the show. So I think it was Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith was saying something like, you know, I don't feel too bad about, you know, a bunch of 18-year-old freshman, sophomore teams losing to these 23-year-old veteran teams that are out here who are underranked. You know, Florida Atlantic is one of those teams, right? I mean, they've been ranked all year long, if you think about it, in the lower 20s, you know, 18s. And so, you know, they got the ability to knock out a team or two, and they did it. So my question to you two is this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, you know, a Duke team that's filled with freshmen and sophomores going down to a maybe Florida Atlantic team who's got 22-year-olds and 23-year-olds on their team?
That's been the great divide in college basketball, and always has been, right? The teams who get the one and dones, you're starting usually 3 to 4 18 to 19-year-old players, where a team from a smaller conference, like say the Valley, a team from the Valley has the ability to start guys for 3, 4, and sometimes in college basketball now 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And those teams, when they get to a tournament, have the ability to play better basketball than a team of 19, 18-year-olds who are only there for one season. I understand why the little guy, like who was a team in years past? Wichita State.
Yeah.
That was a team in years past that had seniors, mm-hmm. and they were good. They were talented, and they were together for multiple seasons, and they were able to put on some runs and upset some pretty big teams. And I that's just the environment that we live in college basketball today. You know, maybe 10 years from now it changes a little because the name, image, and likeness, and maybe more 18, 19-year-olds are sticking around a little bit longer before they jump to the NBA. And I'm not saying 6 years, right? Like, we're not talking about Drew Timmies of the world. I'm talking about, I know he was only there for four. I'm just joking.
Dude, the fact that, like, so many people are like, wait, what?
Yeah, but my point is, if they stay for two seasons, maybe that Kentucky team, that Duke team, that North Carolina team, they just have a little bit more togetherness on the floor.
Well,
I can see that.
Wasn't that always the thing with Izzo? Like Izzo and Shea Norling, if he's still listening in the chat, can comment on this as well on twitch.tv/ESPN1000.
It's a long time to listen to a student radio show.
Well,
huh?
Listen, he likes what he likes. Wasn't that the thing with Izzo that he could convince guys to stay? So he had guys that would stick around for 2 to 3 years, and then they were always a little bit older than the Calipari teams that would get like a bunch of one and done dudes that would come in and just rotate through the year. Like they'd have like 4 5-star guys that you knew were going to the NBA. They'd make a deep run, and then they'd have to just go get 5 more 5-star recruits to rotate through the and before they went to the NBA.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and you know, in the lower leagues in college basketball, the smaller leagues, that's the teams that are usually good are those teams, right? Like the teams are bad in like the Horizon, the Valley. They're usually teams that have a bunch of like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And the teams who are the best in those conferences are the teams that have seniors and juniors. Mark in Logan Square, Lincoln Square, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
First,
what's
real
up?
Real quick, it took me a little, when you guys first started, it took me a little time to get used to it, but now I'm hooked, and I think you two are great together.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Appreciate that.
But I wanted to know, what should I ask Cap tomorrow if I call in that'll really piss him off?
No comment from me. Abdallah, it's all you.
Ask him to go through his workout regimen, because I would really like to know what it is.
He likes talking about that stuff.
Yeah, but I want to know what it is, though. Don't you want to know?
Not really.
He works out 3 times a day.
Does he?
That's what he says.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, if they let me stay on, then I'll say.
Oh, I won't hang up on you tomorrow night.
No.
If you call in and you want to ask Cap questions, I will not hang up on you.
All right. Well, I'll say, you know, too much. That's too much.
What sports angle? Because, you know, it might be thrown out there at the start that he'll only talk sports.
Oh, here you
so
go.
What
here
would
you, go.
You?
Mark, call in and tell him he's a hater for only thinking the Bears are going to win 5 games.
Okay.
You're like, you're a hater. You're not a true fan. You're a hater.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right, cool. Well,
that'll
I love
do
your
it.
Show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks,
we'll
Mark.
We'll
appreciate
talk to you
it.
Tomorrow night, okay?
All right. Take care.
There he is. There's Mark. Yeah, tomorrow night. Black and Cap. That's right.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago.
Eberflus.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yeah, it should be fun. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Weeknight 6A right here on ESPN 1000. Dell, I have news for you. This is big news for you.
For me?
You're a detractor when it comes to this topic. You think that it's not real.
Okay.
You think it's made up. You think it's fake. You think it's phony. You have no respect for those who have accomplished great things in this world.
Space?
And outside.
Out space? Outer space?
You see this new story today? More water found on the moon, locked in tiny glass beads.
Yeah.
That's right. China sent up a rover, and the rover found beads, glass beads, while drilling on the lunar surface.
oh, we're just allowing China to drill in the moon? No.
And they're up there, and they have now found water in these microscopic glass beads that one day may help future astronauts produce drinking water, breathable air, and even rocket fuel, scientists say in a new report released today from China.
Well, I mean,
how about that, Abdallah?
It's no surprise, as an observer of the outer space scene, that you'll just believe anything that's written on a website or piece of paper. Prove it. Let me see it. Let me see the evidence.
Well, they have it. The scientists have the items in their...
Who watches the Watchmen, Chris?
Well, of course. But if you're just going to be naysayer to the naysaying, to just always saying that it doesn't exist until someone
naysaying.
Brings it to
all
you,
I want to know is
I think that's nonsense.
Well, how are we colonizing the moon?
How do you believe anything?
How much space?
If you only believe things that are in front of you, how do you believe anything?
How much? Because I can see a lot of things.
No, you don't.
What can I see?
You don't see anything.
What can I see? Name something.
I'll see it. You don't believe it.
No, I believe it.
You're really into The Bachelor.
I can watch that.
You can watch it on TV. How do you know it's real? It could be fake.
I know it's fake.
How do you know?
I know most of it's
done by... Is it
brought to you? Most of it's done by producers.
Well, I don't know.
That's
your whole argument for the entire thing.
Bad example. Better example would have been like photosynthesis.
Have you ever seen a polar bear?
Yeah, I have.
Where?
The zoo.
Yeah, it's a made-up place.
No,
have you seen a polar bear in real life?
Yeah, at the zoo.
In real life.
At the zoo.
In nature.
They got video of that. They don't have video of this water on the moon.
They have the scientists looking at the microscopic beads,
glass beads. Let me see.
They're there. You've got Google.
My point is this. How are we colonizing the moon? Is it just first?
Well, having water really help.
No. Space-wise.
What does that even mean, like space-wise?
How much space do we each get?
Well, they'll divvy it up.
Oh, yeah, because that's not going to cause a war.
Well, it will. That's why you got to be first.
How do you think this all works? Is that why we have it? Well, clearly China's there better than we are.
Well, we were there. They just know that there could be water on the moon.
Why didn't we find out the water first?
Well, we didn't look at the glass beads.
Sounds like they're ahead of us.
I agree. Their rover was able to find this. Our rover's just up there taking photos.
Didn't our rover die up there?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just taking selfies.
If it ever went.
Sad Instagram life of the rover. Meanwhile, China's rover's up there digging. Finding glass beads that could have water inside of them.
Could. Maybe it's just rock candy.
And future astronauts could use this technology to produce water for themselves. Microscopic glass beads.
Okay.
On the surface of the moon.
What if it's just glass?
It's a real place. Inside, there's water.
Why is the water inside? What is it, a Pokemon?
How do you know? You don't know until you see it.
Exactly. I don't know until I see it.
So you're just out on this.
I'm never going to go to the moon, so I don't care.
So you don't care.
By the time we develop the technology to colonize and live on the moon, I will be long dead.
How do you know? Things move fast sometimes.
Not moon stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes it moves fast.
You know how
fast.
Long it takes to get to the moon?
Oh, that's a long. That's a trip too far for me,
dude. They just found maybe water.
Long car trips, so I would imagine a trip to the moon is going to take some time.
Do you know how long it takes to build a structure? We got to put a glass thing around it, don't we?
Oh, it's actually not that bad. It takes about 3 days to get to the moon.
Well, that's not horrible, actually. That's less time than it takes to get to L.A.
That's a lot easier than I thought.
If you're driving. Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Okay. But you know how long it's going to take? So, how are we going to colonize the moon? What, are we putting a big glass dome around it and then putting oxygen in there?
Yeah, it's like Total Recall.
And then building everything?
Yeah.
Dude, you know how long that's going to take? We're going to be dead. My daughter might be dead by the time we get up there.
No, she'll be there.
No, she won't.
First in line.
I'm going to raise her right.
And tell her not to go on the moon.
Out of principle. You stay here. Hold down the fort. They'll be back. Don't worry. They'll be back. Because I'm not going to get into a space war up there. You think we're just going to walk up and be like, yeah, this part's America's. You go over there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would imagine there's going to be some territories that are going to have to be talked about.
Talked about?
Yeah. I would imagine China and Russia are probably going to team up.
Okay.
And the U.S. is going to have to find a partner, a dance partner.
Yeah.
And this Royal Rumble they're up
called,
on the moon.
They're called allies,
no,
Chris.
No, I'm trying to break it down nope. for everyone.
They're called allies.
I think this is going to be a Royal Rumble situation up
I'm
there.
I'm just telling you, man. And then they're called allies.
Here comes the U.S. running in like the Ultimate Warrior down to the ring up on the moon.
Who's going to be, who's lowered from like Sting?
Don't you have a space story as well?
I do have a space story as well. Did you know, were you out and about on Saturday night?
I was, yes.
Did you know, Chris,
okay.
that you could have seen an asteroid?
Really?
Yeah.
Downtown Chicago?
An asteroid.
Flying through?
That could have wiped out a city.
Oh, really? This city?
Passed between the moon and the Earth on Saturday. An asteroid big enough to wipe out a city zipped harmlessly between the Earth and the moon's orbit this weekend. Yeah. Just like, boom. the rock was over 100,000 miles away. That's less than half the distance from here to the moon. That's
really?
A little too close.
That is close.
That's a little too close. It was visible through binoculars and small telescopes. And you know what was crazy is Tracy was telling me, Tracy Butler, ABC 7 weather, meteorologist, was telling me on Friday at the event that it was clear enough that some people up in like Wisconsin and Michigan saw the northern lights.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm wondering if it was clear enough on Saturday to see this, if anybody saw the this little meteorite that went...
It's just yelling.
Dude, 100,000 miles is not that far away. That's only a day and a half away from us if
you
do the math.
Close. That's pretty close.
3 days to the moon is only a day and a half to the asteroid.
And you're saying all it would do is wipe out a city?
That's all it would do is wipe out the city and probably tilt the Earth on its axis.
It wouldn't send us into another dark age?
I don't know if it was because I wonder.
How big was the meteor that hit the Earth when that first happened?
I don't know.
Or do you not believe that either?
Well, no, because other meteorites have fallen.
Are you one of those?
So
you don't believe that happened?
So this weekend was also the anniversary of particles of a meteorite hitting places in Illinois. And, like, people still buy them at auction for, like, a lot of money. The space rock.
Well, of course. Yeah. It's from space.
It is from space.
It's a more important rock.
I mean, it could be like a Meteor Man, where you touch it and you get superpowers.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Smith and Nick Mokzala for producing tonight's show, Black and Abdallah. One part of this duo will be back tomorrow night from 6 to 8. That'll be me. I will be with David Kaplan here on the show tomorrow night. That's right. Tomorrow is the last spring trading day at ESPN 1000. Every Tuesday in the month of March, we swap partners. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, you'll have Carmen and Dion. Greeny at 10. At noon, Dad Chat with Abdallah and Connor. Yurko and Waddle from 2 to 6. And then Black and Cap from 6 to 8 tomorrow night. I'm going to need the Black and Abdallah listeners to show up. 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm.
All calls welcome for David Kaplan. We will open the phone lines tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
I'm coming on.
And we will talk to Cap right here on ESPN 1000. We're going to need your help tomorrow night.
It's going to end
from
a fight.
6 to 8. He that can't get mad at me if the people are the ones asking the questions.
That is most definitely going to end
in a fight. He can't get mad at me if they're the ones asking the questions.
That is definitely going to end in a fight.
So that will be tomorrow right here on ESPN 1000.
Oh, just an awful basketball team. Very sad.
Very sad. So very that's sad. Tomorrow night, and sad. You'll hear Abdallah tomorrow with Connor.
Welcome in to Carmen and Yurko. It's Adam Abdallah, Connor McDonough for the guys. So, how's the baby?
It'll just be a pleasant chat about babies for 2 hours.
Neither of us have slept. We're going to get through this.
So tomorrow at noon, you'll hear Abdallah and Connor. It'll be a very pleasant show to listen to. And then the Thunderdome at 6. 6'8", cap and black. Yes.
You've got a guy that's in the motorcycle riding in the ball.
Just around us.
Fire. Yeah. It's basically a scene from Mad Max. Like, that whole show is just a scene from Mad Max.
Absolutely. So that's tomorrow night right here on ESPN 1000. Brandon, in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Not much. What's
up? It's been a while. It's Brandon in Naperville, so yeah, but it's all good. I was just calling to see. I was responding to the there's a guy that called in earlier talking about the teams left in the tournament and the lack of talent compared to the Big Ten. I'm an Indiana fan, went to IU. I don't know. I personally feel like the Big Ten is probably the most overrated conference in college basketball. So I know I didn't necessarily agree with that point. Curious what you guys think. And then Abdallah, man, it's been a while since I've heard about the rat tail revolution. What happened to that? Heard about the space stuff and the robots, rise of the resistance, but what happened to the rat tail revolution, man?
Well, listen, Brad, I mean, there's a reason that I had a daughter, because she RTR. Will go to the future. She will have a son, and then a robot from the future will have to come back and tell her, hey, your son leads the revolution. So basically my grandchild, I had a daughter, so my grandchild will lead the revolution. So it's in the works. Okay. It's never, it might be silent, but it's always in the works underground.
For sure. Best laid plans, man.
Yeah, all exactly. Right. That's exactly. Awesome.
Well, appreciate you guys. Love the show. Black, best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandon.
All your endeavors, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for phone call. And like I said earlier, we're going to need everyone to show up. And show out tomorrow night.
I just hope
we're going to need a full assistance on the phone lines tomorrow evening.
I hope that 6 o'clock hits and it's just boom, 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 boom. Every line's letting you wow,
wow, whoa,
wow, whoa,
wow,
wow,
whoa,
whoa.
Wow.
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction?
Wow,
whoa,
Daddy Likey.
You think he's going to tell? Will you do me a favor? Will you tell him welcome to the big leagues?
No, I won't say that. I won't say that to him. He said that to us, and he said it to you specifically, so I'll let you handle that one. I don't think that was very nice. I will not say that. I will say, welcome to Black and Abdallah. This is what we do, so let's go to line one. It will be Mitchell in Des Plaines. Hello, Mitchell. And line two, we'll go to
here. He better call. Mitchell in Des Plaines, Moe in Frankfurt, Chase on the south side. Everybody.
Yeah, we need everyone to show up tomorrow.
Everybody. Tom in Oak Lawn.
Like, and honestly, this is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
At times, a bit dodgy when the conversation's during the crosstalks in the morning on certain topics. But if it's at night and the sun goes down and all our great callers call the show, we can just take the phone calls.
Well, and the best part of this is, you're in control.
Yes, I am.
Like, when I filled in with him last week on Tuesday, when I did spring training with him on Tuesday, he drove, as the radio term is.
Oh, did he do he only went to the callers that agreed with him?
Well, we didn't really, argue about a lot of stuff.
Okay. All
so right. There wasn't, it wasn't like the last time last year where it was like, I'm right, you're wrong, here's callers. It wasn't that. There wasn't, an opportunity for that. We did have some disagreements about what we think the Bears are, but it was minuscule. Like last year, he thought they were going to be the worst team in the NFL. They were going to win 3 games, and I thought they were going to win 7 or 8 games, right?
Did I hear something from him with your show the other day that 7-day work week, is that what he's looking for?
If he could, he would only have 1 weekend day, and it would be Sunday.
Okay. He just wants to work all the time.
He's a grinder.
Grinder.
He loves the chase.
Grinder rules.
Grinder rule number 3 apparently is either
just
work
try
from,
to get the next day off when you work
home,
late.
Or have Wednesday off because you're going to be here till 8 o'clock.
I will say this: I will protest the show if he tries to do it from home.
No.
If he tries to do a connection from home,
no
protest.
Shot.
Protest.
Is he allowed to do that? And no shot is he allowed to have Wednesday off. There has been many a time when you and I have been here until 8 o'clock and then have to come back, and it's not even that quick of a turnaround.
You're going to get a meeting. He is not going to be happy with you.
A quick turnaround is 10 p.m., 11 p.m. when we used to produce for Carmen.
Look at the Twitch chat. What do you think of that idea?
I mean, he's on vacation, but I doubt he will. They were on stage together on Friday. They were.
Technically, yes.
They were both there?
Technically,
Words were said?
To each other?
I think so. It was hard to hear on stage.
I don't know about that.
The speakers were facing out, so when we were backstage, it was very hard to hear what was going on stage.
Steven Bourbonnais, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
No, I don't even know where to start, guys. Hey, great show as usual.
Thank you.
I'm sad I missed the House of Blues. I just want to say good night. I'm not doing it for the Carcinos here. Excellent show. I had another joke, but I can't get to it.
Wait,
can't
why
get
not?
To it. It's inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. Don't be inappropriate. Right. Well.
Yeah, a little inappropriate. Okay. All right. Great show, guys.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. The calling up and saying, I have a joke, but I can't say it.
I can't say it.
Tonight's going to be a late night. Bulls play the Clippers in Los Angeles, 9:30 tip. Yeah. The Bulls are now 36-38. They're 10th in the Eastern Conference. They beat the Lakers yesterday, 118-108. Nice game from Zach LaVine. In the month of March, Zach is averaging 30 points, and he's shooting 53, 45, and 88% field goal, 3-point from the free throw line. He's having a very nice month, and the Bulls are 7-10 in their last 7-3 in their last 10 games.
And that's where we go for our FanDuel game of the night. Right now, all customers get up to $25 back each day if your bracket parlay of three legs or one or more falls one leg short. We're going to go with the under in the Bulls and Clippers game under 220. That's FanDuel.com/Abdallah. That's your FanDuel game of the night.
So there you go. The Bulls face off against the Clippers tonight. So we will watch that, and we will have some sports talk for you tomorrow here on the program. Line up early at 6 p.m. Carmen, North Riverside, you want to say goodnight to the people?
I guess twice. Good night, Chicago.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports.